special message in lieu of what's being celebrated here with this biker club, and they're having a fellowship for us afterwards. I just think they serve as a good example for all of us as Christians. And the need to fellowship, the need to find those people that you can hang out with and get to know. Didn't it look like they were having fun? It looked like that. I don't ride bikes. I'm a little, but it looked fun. But if you can find something that you can really connect with other people and use it in the gospel, in the promotion of the gospel, that's a great thing. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about that this morning. So open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Be looking at two verses briefly this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Lord, bless this time in your word. We come convinced, Lord, this morning that this is your word. The scripture was written by you and it's for us. So I pray, Lord, that we would live in obedience to your word, especially those of us who claim to be Christian. Lord, I want to thank you for the body of Christ. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you for the precious friendships that I've enjoyed over the years. The wonderful times of support. Oh, how I pray that very strong relationships among your people would develop. And I pray, Lord, especially if there'd be anybody here this morning who's never come into your family to become one of your children, I pray that you would open their eyes this morning to salvation. Do that work by the power of your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I am the type of guy who gets a little nervous when I see the label assembly required over an item that I'm about to buy. I even get nervous when I see some assembly required. And that's because I'm not a very good handyman. A lot of you know that about me. You've laughed at me in the past over various things. I've gotten better over the years, but I still tend to make the job a lot harder. Longer. I tend to break things and I tend to put things on backwards. So I would rather buy things that are already fully assembled or let somebody else handle it, like my 8-year-old Dylan, who's great with Legos. But if you were to think of the church as a boxed up item that you could find in a store, then on that box, in huge letters, you'd have the label assembly required. Now, most of us here this morning that the church isn't a boxed up item in a store and it's not a building. The church is made up of people. People who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And my brother and sister in Christ, listen, assembly is required. Assembly required for Christians. We need to be regularly getting together. Look what it says in verse 24, Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a very important word there in verse 25. It's the word manner. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That word could be translated custom, habit, practice, pattern. It refers to the fixed behavior of somebody, the usual practice of someone. And apparently in that congregation to which this letter was written, there were some Christians there who were habitually, consistently, usually forsaking the assembling of themselves with other Christians. And my friends, listen, that is a big no-no when it comes to the Word of God, as it says right here. The opposite should be true for us as Christians. As Christians, the habit of our life should be to assemble ourselves with other Christians. The custom, the consistent practice of our life should be assembling with other Christians. That should be our manner. Now, the most obvious application of this principle would be church attendance, right? Christians should regularly attend church. When your brothers and sisters in Christ get together and we open the Word and we come together and we worship, Christians need to be in that environment frequently. It should be a habit, a custom of our lives. But there are many Christians out there that don't attend church regularly. They call themselves Christians, but they don't really show up at church much. In fact, there's a high percentage of Christians, according to Barna Research, that really don't go to church that often. Maybe once a month at the most. And then some Christians out there, they call themselves Christians, but they're two Sunday a year Christians. Which Sundays? Easter and Christmas, and then perhaps a funeral, that might get them to church. Or a wedding, or something like that. That shouldn't be our practice. One Christian author here spoke of a disease that he called morbus sabbaticus. Morbus sabbaticus, better known as Sunday sickness. A disease peculiar to some church members. Here are some of the symptoms. Number one, it never lasts more than 24 hours. It never interferes with the appetite. It never affects the eyes. The Sunday newspapers can be read with no pain. Television seems to help the eyes. No physician is ever called. After a few attacks at weekly intervals, it may become chronic, even terminal. He goes on to say, no symptoms are usually felt on Saturday. The patient sleeps well and wakes feeling well. He eats a hearty Sunday breakfast and the attack comes until services are over for the morning. The patient feels better and eats a solid dinner. After dinner, he takes a nap, watches some football games. He may take a walk and stop and chat with neighbors. If there are church services scheduled for Sunday evening, he'll have another short attack. Invariably, he wakes up Monday morning and rushes off to work feeling refreshed. The symptoms may not reoccur until the following Sunday, unless another service is scheduled during the week. Morbus sabbaticus. Do you have morbus sabbaticus? Do you have that strange disease? Oh no, my brother and sister in Christ, we should regularly get together. Amen? And be committed to that. Make that a habit in your life. I read this week that it was a fixed habit of Theodore Roosevelt to attend church on Sunday. Even when he was the president of the United States of America, the pastor of his church always received a letter or phone message from the president when he expected to be out of town, explaining his absence. You think the president's busy? It's something that we need to be committed to. Assembly required. Now, assembly of Christians is much more than just church attendance. Church attendance, yes, that's important, but it's much more. Where else can Christians assemble? Anywhere. There are so many different opportunities. Man, at a weekly home Bible study group, or a prayer meeting, or women's ministry, or a men's ministry, or a youth ministry, or in the children's ministry. So many different ways. Christians can also assemble in inter-church ministries, para-church ministries. Just get together with other Christians. You know, there are some pastors, I think, that abuse this passage too much by saying, you've got to come to our church whenever the doors are open. Only this church. And you got to be at this church. And don't go to any other church. And don't go to any other function of any other church. I would say to a pastor like that, the church is bigger than your church, Mr. Pastor. And it's good for us to get together with Christians in any number of venues. And we've worked very hard here to provide venues for Christians to assemble. I mean, I was just looking through our bulletin and just so many different areas. You know, the Sunday night prayer ministry. We have three kinship groups that meet during the week. Small group fellowships. We have a Spanish ministry that's meeting on Tuesday night. Boy, how I'd love to see that one take off. I was looking in our bulletin. We've got three different women's ministry events every week. At different times during the week. We got a men's ministry. Youth ministry. All kinds of different areas for a person to assemble. And then we do special events throughout the year. Special fellowships. We'll do like a Valentine's Day thing for married couples. Or a Passover Seder. Or a big harvest party. Just lots of opportunities for us to assemble. To gather. And so we should. And I personally believe that we live in a day and age where we need to make more of an effort to do that. That it's even more important for us to get together. Look what it says there at the end of verse 25. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The return of Christ. This verse seems to indicate that as it gets closer to the return of Christ, it's going to become more important for us to get together more and more. We're going to need each other more and more. In the days leading up to the second coming of Christ, we know that there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. Many people are going to fall away from the faith. We're going to need each other. Solid connections with true, sincere, maturing believers to keep us strong. We know it'll get harder and harder for Christians in the last days. We're going to need each other. So, very, very important for us to do this. Now, I see that many have made the effort to come to church this morning, and some of you are probably thinking, Terry, I'm here. You're preaching to the choir. And you know what? That's absolutely true. As I do look out there, I do see lots of people who faithfully attend church. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And as I look out, I see lots of people who are involved in many weekly ministries that we make available here. I see many of you that are involved in other Christian organizations, maybe even outside this church. I see a good group of people in the Christian Motorcycle group here today. But I see a lot of that, but this is what the Lord really put on my heart this morning. It's this. I think there's a big difference between gathering and assembling. In fact, I think it's even possible for us as Christians to gather but not assemble. And we need to assemble. That's the command here. Let's say I did go out to the store and I bought a bicycle, a bike in a box. And I brought it into my living room and I'm going to put it together. And so I opened the box and I would dump all those pieces out all over the chains and the, you know, all that stuff. It's all right there. The pieces of that bike have gathered. They haven't assembled yet. And this is the point that we really need to understand. It's not enough just to gather. The body of Christ needs to assemble. How do we, as Christians, assemble? Well, this means that we must become actively involved in one another's lives. We have to become connected. We have to form bonds. We have to form relationships. Tight, close friendships, sisterhood, brotherhood. It can't be just something where a bunch of people always just show up and there are all the pieces and then they all leave. No, we've got to assemble. Get connected. Seriously involved in one another's lives. Not everybody, but some. I want you to notice three functions that we as Christians are used by the Lord by in one another's lives. Look at verse 24. It says, let us consider one another. Consider one another. That's a very, very important word to get a handle on. It's the Greek word kata nomen. It comes from two Greek words, kata and nomen. Kata means through or down into. Nomen means to understand. So, to understand down into. To understand through and through. The idea is to really become familiar with your brothers and sisters in Christ. To know them, to be able to look down into their hearts. This word makes me think of an auto mechanic who would open the hood of a car, look in and get really familiar with that vehicle and know how to help that vehicle. That is exactly what we need to be with one another. Relationships where we can open up the hood, open up the heart, considering one another. That word also shows up in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider Jesus. In that aspect, it means pay very close attention to Jesus. Be attentive to. Think very deeply about. Show a great bit of concern for. That's what we're to be with one another. Knowing other Christians very well. And being very attentive to one another's lives. You know, my brother and sister in Christ, do you have other Christians in your life that know you very well? And you've allowed them to know you? We should have relationships together where, I mean, we know what's going on in each other's lives. You could call someone up. How did it go today at work? How was that problem that you were going to having to face? You know, I was praying about you for that. That connected. Tight. Assembled. If you don't have that kind of a relationship with any other brother or sister in Christ, you haven't assembled. An assembly is required. Now, churches, Christian organizations can provide all kinds of opportunity, all kinds of venues for that. And that is one of the main purposes why we provide all those things. But it's so that Christians assemble. It's so that Christians get connected. And that is one thing that nobody can force. You, as a Christian, have to go for it. You have to personally make that effort. Not to just go to a Bible study or a women's ministry and say, okay, I've connected. No, go there and pour out your heart and really get to know people. And you know, I've heard a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ say at different times,
I just can't do it. Nobody's friendly. Nobody wants to be my friend.
Pray about it and keep trying. You know, most Christians I meet are pretty nice. And they're pretty receiving. And they're pretty open. And you can just take a little bit of effort and build those relationships. Consider one another. It also says in verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good deeds. Now, I love this. Stir up one another. Provoke one another. Stimulate one another. Incite one another. You know, we talk about people that are running around in life stirring up all kinds of trouble. They're troublemakers. As Christians, we're to be stirring up love and good deeds among one another. And that takes relationship. That takes getting actively involved in the lives of other people. This word, stir up, in the original language in Greek, it refers to something sharp or stinging that would cause stimulation. It's used oftentimes of the goad. A goad, this sharp thing, and you hit that animal right there on its backside and that animal gets going. We're goads for one another. It's a word that's used to speak of a splinter that you get in your finger or something. You know when you get a splinter in your finger and how that irritates you and it drives you to do something about it? That's what we're to be like as Christians with one another. It's like getting a mosquito bite. How many of you have gotten a mosquito bite? Man, I've gotten 100 right out there in that parking lot. And what happens when you get a mosquito bite? You know you're not supposed to itch, right? But, oh, you itch. You're spurred up. You're fired up to do that. That is exactly what you and I are to be with one another. We're to be like mosquitoes with one another, causing each other to itch for love and good works. My friends, that comes by two ways. It comes, of course, by teaching the Word of God. And man, coming up and hearing a Bible study, and oftentimes I've been encouraged and goaded and spurred on to go and apply what I've learned. But most of the stirring up happens by example. One-on-one example, as you get to know other Christians. See, you get to know a brother or sister in Christ and you see different ways in the way that they live. Maybe they're involved in this ministry or another ministry, or maybe their marriage is so awesome, or maybe their financial situation is so... And you just get to know that person and it stirs you up to follow their example. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. That church had promised that they would give financially to a fund that Paul had put together to help the Jerusalem church. And apparently the Christians in that church had forgot about that promise and they weren't giving that money to that fund. And so Paul is encouraging them to do so. And one way he did it was giving them the example of another church up in Macedonia. He says, boy, you should, the church in Macedonia is giving a lot, and they're giving sacrificially, and they're giving even more than they said they would. So you should give as well, following their example. Paul was using that spurring on by personal example. Get connected with other believers, and believe me, you're going to be led by the Lord through your relationships with others. You're going to see what others are doing, and it will spur you on. And then you can spur on other believers. Provoking one another to love and good deeds. And then in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's the Greek word parakaleo. It literally means to come very close to the side of another person. Come right to their side and help. It's translated three different ways in English usually. To exhort, to warn, to comfort, and to encourage. Again, that's close-up relationship. That strong connection. That's assembling. Amen? That's being drawn close together. It was awesome to see that video. And it was awesome to see what's going on in that Christian Motorcycle Club. I see wonderful relationships being built. And these people know each other. And they're involved in each other's lives. And they're working for the Lord. Listen, transfer that to any other area of interest. Anything. Getting involved with one another. Getting involved in a ministry. Assemble. Assembly required. The other way that we as Christians assemble, and this is important, is to find our place in service for the Lord. We must find our place in the body of Christ, what God has called us to do, and then do that faithfully. Again, going to that example with the bike. I've dumped all those pieces out, and there they are. How good are they just gathered there together? They're just kind of shiny. You can just look at it. But what happens when you put all of those pieces together and now you have a bike? What's going on? You have function. You have service. Just like that, we as members of the church are to be assembled in such a way that the church functions. That it moves forward. And you know what? Jesus Christ has given us a tall order. The church has an incredible job to do. Jesus said, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our function is to present every human being complete in Christ Jesus. The job of the church is to share the gospel worldwide and then lead brand new believers into maturity. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's the function of the church. And you need to know this morning that that's just not for paid professionals. Those that are in full-time ministry. This is a task for everyone in the body of Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the church is like a body. And there's many members of that body. And those members are to be working together in coordination to do that work. We are also told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other places that if you are a born-again Christian, you are guaranteed at least one spiritual gift. One gift. Many more than one gift. Gifts like teaching or serving or administration or evangelism. Encouragement. Giving. If we are to assemble and function, all of us need to find where the Lord has it, wants us. We all need to find our place in the body of Christ and then serve in that capacity. And all of us working together fulfills the Great Commission. People do it behind the scenes. People do it up front. But there's all different kinds of roles to be filled. And I would say, pray daily. If you don't know where you're supposed to be serving in the body of Christ, pray daily that the Lord would show you. Pray that the Lord would show your gift, show you the gift that He's giving you. And then use that in some capacity in the task that Jesus Christ has given the church. Amen? And it really does mean that as Christians, we got to have a different sort of mentality. We got to have a mentality that seeks to bless other people. That seeks to give. To sacrifice, to make these efforts. Arthur Bowers, in one of his articles, wrote, "I often visit newcomers in town and find them to be church shopping. They want to know what they can get out of church. Churches are one more consumer commodity. Worship services are not a place for us to serve God and neighbor, but a place where people expect to purchase the best. Inspiring worship, good music, moving sermons, quality childcare, etc." He says, as if we buy God and not vice versa. Church is not a consumer oriented commodity. The church should be a fellowship where every member seeks to bless. Amen? To give. To be a part of. To get involved in. So let's assemble. So many blessings if we make that effort to assemble regularly. Number one, you will grow as a Christian. Did you know that you will grow if you get to know other Christians and especially get real tight? The Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. You need that for growth. As Christians assemble, the work gets done. And as Christians really begin to assemble, there is a wonderful enjoyment of the relationships and the friendships. We live in this culture that's so busy. And we live in this culture that has so many distractions. You know, we've got all those devices that are supposed to help us save time, right? Computers, cell phones, Palm Pilots and all that. Are they saving time? Now we're spending more time on those little things, aren't we? There's so much to distract people in our culture from getting personal with other people. Making that effort. And I think there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of people that don't even know how to be social anymore. My friend Paul Cox, he's a missionary in Africa. And he told me something once that I'll never forget. He says, in Africa, nobody has watches. and everybody has time. In America, everybody has watches, and nobody has time. The Scripture says we're to assemble. We're to make that happen, folks. And again, more than just gathering, connecting. Making that effort. So I would pray that the Lord would cause each one of us, especially in these last days, to get more involved with one another, to enjoy relationships. And I'll tell you, some of the best friendships that I have made over my life as a Christian have come within the context of doing ministry. You know, even before I was a pastor, I was always heavily involved in church. I'd do a Bible study wherever anybody would have me. And I'd just get involved in like music groups or a youth group. And I have found that when I get involved in a ministry, that's where I develop these really, really tight relationships. And I would just recommend that you would consider doing that. There's lots of ministries for you to be involved in. It's neat. Every year we have this vacation Bible school, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. It's a week long and all this stuff. And it's fun to watch new faces join the people that get involved in the VBS. Because by the end of the week, after you've been dealing with 150 kids, you've made some really good friendships. Friendships that will oftentimes grow and blossom. So I would recommend find a place that you can serve. Find an area. Prayerfully consider. Make that effort. Amen? Let's enjoy one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's help one another. Let's support one another. Let's bless one another. Let's be blessed by one another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we close this morning, we do need to be reminded that the church is a family. It's a family of called out ones. People who have been called out of the world. And joined to Jesus Christ. And the Bible does teach that those who have received Christ do become children of God. They join the family of God. They can refer to God as Father, Daddy. There is something in everybody's life that keeps you separated from God who is holy. And that is sin. Sin in our life separates us from God. Sin in our life keeps us from entering the family of God. We can't get right with God on our own. That sin keeps us from Him. And so God, in His marvelous grace, sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take care of the sin problem. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross. The Scripture says that He, the Son of God, died for the sins of sinners. He is the rescue for sinners, as we sang earlier. And He rose again on that third day. And He's alive today. And so He's opened the path to heaven. He's opened the way of salvation by His death on the cross. And if you want to become a child of God, then you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. And because He died on the cross for your sins, if you ask Him to come into your life, all of your sins will be forgiven. And see, that removes the sin issue. And now you come into the family of God and you become a son, a daughter. God assembles you into His body. Body of believers. Supernatural. It's marvelous. It's amazing. The transformation is amazing. If you receive Christ, you become a child in His family and you get a lot of brothers and sisters who will love you, support you, walk with you. And then you can serve the Lord together in any number of interests. If you're here this morning and you've never entered the family of God, you've never come into the family of God, you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. You can do it this morning with a simple prayer. Just asking Jesus to come into your heart. Every head bowed, eyes closed. Man, if you have not received Christ as your Savior yet, and you'd like to become a part of His family, raise up your hand high right now so I can see it. Nobody else has to see. Just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus this morning. Anybody here? Give you just a few more moments of silence to respond. If the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart, open. Open that door. Then let's stand together. It's good to be with one another, isn't it? It's refreshing. It's encouraging. I would invite all of you to assemble with some burgers right after the church, right after the service. We'll get together and hang out in fellowship. Let's close with the last song.
time, this day, if you need prayer for any reason, or if you'd like to speak with one of our elders, to my right, to your left, and that prayer room will be available for you. The Lord bless you. Amen.